Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
It's Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, November 24th. You are listening to episode 18 of Double Talk Radio. Tonight we'll have some NFL football as well as rapid fire. A guy meets a girl online and it works. We'll talk about the Miranda Rights KSM trial. We've got some Obama and much, much more on tonight's episode of Double Talk Radio.
We will now take you live to Beijing for the joint press conference already underway between U.S. President Obama and Chinese President Hu Jintao.
As I already said privately, I would like to thank President Jintao for his kind welcome and generous hospitality. And I hope that during this visit we can have a productive dialogue about the serious issues of concern that remain between our two countries. Issues ranging from the unfair valuation of your currency.
I like to be kissed.
There's no need for that.
No.
So,
do you know how many uninsured we have in China? 1.25 billion. Billion. But I'll tell you this. We don't owe anyone $800 billion.
Well, obviously, we take our debt to you very seriously.
I suppose if I really wanted to get my money, I could call and say I was a Wall Street banker who needs his bonus. But really, why should I have to stoop to that level?
You don't have to stoop to any level.
Please understand, if it were my $800 billion, I wouldn't care. But it belongs to my country. I feel like I should bring it up.
You're going to get your money.
Say, while you're here, are you at least going to treat me to dinner and a movie?
I'm sorry.
I think it's a polite thing to do before you sex to me. Very well.
I assure you that as soon as we solve this economic crisis...
Which one? The one that your country's reckless real estate speculation caused? That one? I just want to make sure I know which one we're talking about.
We are taking steps to make sure that what happened will never happen again.
What steps?
Reform of banking regulations.
Do I look like Mrs. Obama?
What?
Do I look like Mrs. Obama?
Of course not.
Then why are you trying to look to me like I was Mrs. Obama?
Now. Mr. President,
I can't take it.
This is not the time or place.
Very well. In that case,
it's Tuesday night, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for some Double Talk Radio. Double talk radio. Now live from our studios in Pennsylvania, USA, and Ontario, Canada, here are your hosts, Violet and Double K.
Oh, indeed. It's Tuesday night again, and that can only mean one thing. It is time for some Double Talk Radio. I am Double K, and as always, I am joined by Violet and Scotty, the producer. Say hi, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello.
What did you guys think of that one?
That was hilarious. But actually, you know what? I heard it today. I heard it today on one of my talk shows.
Someone else did it? It wasn't an original.
Well, it was already played today.
Oh, wow. All right. Somebody beat me
Glenn
to
Beck
it.
Glenn Beck beat you to the punch.
It was Glenn Beck? Well, you know what? I'm in good company then. I'm in good company. I actually saw that the other night, and I couldn't resist. I was the only one awake, and I was peeing my pants. But,
you know, what's really funny about that is, you know, during the elections, if you remember, Saturday Night Live, they were totally on Obama's side, you know what I mean? So this is kind of shocking.
I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. And it's a white guy who plays him.
Oh, see, I haven't seen that.
All kinds of makeup on him. But the killer in that skit was that girl. She was fantastic.
Really?
I want you to kiss me before you have sex with me. Anyway. Small
Very
things.
Funny.
You know what they say about small things. They amuse
yep.
small minds. So that's me, my weird sense of humor. Scotty, what's up? We missed you on Sunday.
Yeah, I was slaving away.
Well, except for that little half hour that he called in, because we didn't miss him then.
No, he did call in, but I mean, we missed him in the command center. And,
yes.
So he's calling in sick every other Sunday from now on.
Hey, if I can get away with it.
Hey, man, I understand. The bill's got to get paid.
Yep.
So if you really love us and you want to hear us every night, send us a nice big royalty check or sponsor us nice and fat, and we'll gladly quit our day jobs.
There you go.
I would love to quit my day job to do this. Absolutely.
Oh, can you imagine? We'd have to really get in a real studio, though.
Yeah. Well, you know how I listen to Quinn and Rose in the morning?
Yeah.
And Quinn keeps talking about how, you know, he's thinking about retiring. And I thought, Double K and I could go in and take their place.
Let's get our resumes in there.
There you go.
Hey, if I could make a nice fat check on a morning radio show, I'd be happy. I think Isbia would quit and love to, you know, stay at home and pursue education or whatever it is she'd want to do. We'd have to become Steeler and Penguin fans, though.
Well, I guess. Well, I'm a Steeler and Penguin fan. You could stay. Actually, it'd be more interesting if we both weren't Steeler and Penguin fans.
Yeah, I guess Philadelphia is in Pennsylvania, so I have my Eagles. And I'd really, really miss the Spitfires, though.
It could be done from. Could it be done remotely?
I guess I could buy them and move them to Pittsburgh.
After we become filthy rich.
Exactly. it's fun to dream. Everybody
Isn't
out
it?
There in the chat room, what would you do with $1 million? There's the question.
Only
of the
a million. You know, these days, $1 million isn't all that much money. Is
true.
That
you'd
sad?
You'd get affordable health care.
Is that sad?
That's bad.
It is. It's bad. You know. Well, now the jackpots. Like, I don't know what the Super Bowl or whatever you call it over there, but our lotto is over here. We get to about 50 million, and you still don't really get that excited. the society we live in. We need to get to a simpler time.
Right, absolutely.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just very quickly wanted to remind everybody that we are now 6 weeks rolling into the Talk Shoe Top 100.
Right.
Was it 59 this week?
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Awesome. The downloads are going through the roof, which is really impressing me.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of downloads, you should listen to Sunday night's version 7 of The Water Cooler. It was a fun show.
Yes,
and
it was.
Last week was the big episode 17 with Bill Hudson from 2012hoax.org. And,
right.
I know the people that missed
really...
it. It was a really interesting show, wasn't it?
Oh, very.
So.
Very
now,
interesting
scheduled,
show.
scheduled to appear on tonight's show was Debbie from Taking Back Washington. I'm not sure if she's going to go, but Gartex has just entered the room, and we have the you know, the usuals here and some new people. I'm sure we're going to have a good time.
Yeah. Hey, Gartex.
So, anything else on anybody's mind before we move along here?
Well, I mean, I've got a lot on my mind always. But if you want to start off with our football segment, let's go for it.
Well, let's go into our football, and then we can always start babbling as we always do.
Okay.
Okay, folks, it's time for our Tuesday night wrap-up of what's gone on in week 11, I guess it was, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Go ahead and call in, Gartex. We'll unmute you as you come in. And here's some Sunday night football. The new song is requested by the listeners and the rest of the co-hosts. Violet, because I know I had a good week this week, and hey, we don't even have to wait till Sunday. We have three games on Thursday this week, and I've got it off.
That's right. Well, just to do a quick roundup of all the scores from week 11, on Thursday night, last Thursday night, the evening game, it was between the Miami Dolphins at the Carolina Panthers. They won that game 24-17. Then the early Sunday afternoon games, Cleveland Browns at Detroit Lions. The Lions won 38-37.
I was shocked by that, too. I understand the lapse there. You're forgiven. That was truly shocking. And did you mention on Sunday that, what's his name, Stratford, the new quarterback, broke a record from 1939, I believe. It was 5 touchdowns by a rookie quarterback. Just so you know, folks.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Who cares?
No, actually, for some reason, anyway. I couldn't. My mind kept telling me to say Cleveland won, and I kept saying, and I kept thinking, no, Detroit won, and I couldn't get Detroit out of my mouth. So
yeah, flip a two-headed coin on that one.
The next game after that one was San Francisco at Green Bay. Green Bay won that game 30-24. Then it was the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs won that game by 27-24. What happened was at the end there, I found out recently was that Roethlisberger got hit in the head with somebody's knee, had a slight concussion, and was out for the rest of the game. Then Charlie Batch went in and somehow broke his wrist.
Ouch.
Well, you know,
yeah,
like I'm telling
surgery.
You don't want Charlie Batch as your next guy in
well,
line.
You
You're
know,
not going to win the Super Bowl with Charlie Batch.
I know. Well, I saw the first play, and, I mean, he just threw a beautiful pass at Hines Ward. Gorgeous. And I don't know what happened, because I was like, I'm too scared. I can't watch this, and I turned the game off. So, you know, anyway, that's what I found out what happened. Charlie Batch has to have surgery on his wrist.
Sayonara, Charlie.
Next game was the Washington Redskins at the Dallas Cowboys, and the Dallas Cowboys squeaked a win out of that one, 7-6. What was going on there, Gartex? Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you what, man. That was bad.
I mean, I was telling Double K I thought Dallas would at least run away a little bit with that game.
Yeah, that was not a good game at all.
They're tagging the Raiders this week, though, and I am actually waffling on where I'm going to pick.
I bet the Raiders give them a good game, I bet. I bet you they squeak by this one, too.
You think so?
They played well against Cincy, so. Hey, that
who
division
knows?
Is tightening up, too. That is a tight division. I told you that's where the race was going to be this year.
Yep. All righty, next game was the Atlanta Falcons at the New York Giants, and the Giants won that 34-31. Then it was New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that was a decided win by the New Orleans Saints, 38-7. Buffalo
Ouch.
Bills, they were at Jacksonville, and Jacksonville got them by 18-15. The one that's really an ouch was the Indianapolis Colts at the Baltimore Ravens, and they squeaked out a win 17-15, which I thought they were going to run away a little bit with that game against the Ravens. So I don't know what's going on there with the Colts.
And I gave you my reason last night and you or on Sunday, and you laughed at me, so I'm not saying it again. I think it's top secret, hiding plays, and not letting the other teams know what's up their sleeve. I firmly believe the Colts are the best team.
That's possible. You know, you also have, you know, you have a team that may not have the best offense, but you've got a team that's got a really good defense, so that's, you know, you can look at it that way, too.
You don't like the Colts' offense?
Well, if you have a team, let's say Indianapolis or let's say New Orleans, you can have a really, really good defense and give their offense fits. But if your offense can't back you up, you're going to have these type of scores where it's 17-15 or, you know, 7-6, where your offense is just crap, but your defense is going to keep their offense from not scoring a lot. So you could have these low-scoring games.
Let me just clarify something, though. You're not saying that the Colts and the Saints have a crappy offense.
No, but if you if you come across a team, let's say it's Indianapolis versus Miami or whatever, Miami could have a really bad day offensive-wise, but they could also give their defense could give Indianapolis a run for their money, so that you're going to have these low-scoring games. But Indy's still going to win because they have a better offense than they do the other team. So that's why you might get some of these low-scoring games where it's just, you know, their defense is a lot better, you know, for that day.
Yeah,
but you still
I agree.
You still have a really good offense.
Yeah, I agree. But I'll tell you, I know we haven't done the New Orleans thing yet. But I really enjoyed Drew Brees. That guy is an amazing, amazing quarterback.
Southern girl, I believe, is actually Debbie.
It is. I just checked her website. We'll get her on in just a second.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So let's see. Where were we? Oh, then it was Scotty's Seattle Seahawks at the Minnesota Vikings. And the Minnesota Vikings whomped on the Seahawks 35-9. Then it was the Arizona Cardinals at St. Louis Rams. And, of course, as predicted, Arizona won that game 21-13. Then we had the game between the San Diego Chargers and the Denver Broncos. And the Chargers won that game 32-3. And so that was a definite decided win there. The Broncos just keep going down, down, down. So then
yep.
We had
not for real.
Yeah, I don't know what happened after that first loss. It's just like it's as if they lost their confidence. So I don't know.
And Denver and the Giants on Thursday might be the best game of the day.
I think so too. I'm looking forward to that game as well. Then we have Cincinnati Bengals at the Oakland Raiders, and the Oakland Raiders squeaked out a win on that one. Shocked everybody, I'm sure. Because especially Vegas. I bet you Vegas.
And who the Raiders this week?
Uh-huh.
Who picked the Raiders this week?
I didn't.
I did.
Think. Maybe I did. I don't know. I have to go back.
I picked the upset.
I think I did, too. I'll have to check. I just made my picks. Then we have the New York Jets at New England Patriots. Of course, Patriots won that game, much to Double K's chagrin.
Uh-huh.
Then we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the Chicago Bears. And Eagles won that 24-20. And last night's Monday Night Football game, the Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans, and the Houston Texans could not hold on. And they lost that game 20-17. You know, what's going on with this past week is that all these games that are so close, I mean, we have last night's game, we have the Eagles game, we have, what is it? We have the Colts game, the Buffalo Bills game. All these games came in below three points or below.
But that's what you want. You want to get your money's worth.
Yeah, but there's so many of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's some real parity in the league this year. But we'll find out in the playoffs. However, I do want to say something before we get off topic, because we seem to be drifting away from this. May I please have my record for the football pool?
Yes. You actually beat me this week by 4 games. You had 14 games picked correctly. I only had 10.
And, folks, I did not pick Monday night's game, which I publicly professed on Sunday that I would have picked the Titans. That would have given me 15 out of 16 games, correct?
That would have been your best week for the entire season.
Wow.
I am Jimmy the Greek.
Wow. We're going to call you and start betting money.
I am back on the game. We'll see how I do this week, though.
You know what? I picked the Cowboys. I'm giving the Cowboys one more chance.
Okay, I haven't done my picks yet. I guess I'll have to get them in tomorrow. But I took a few days off after a big success.
But I'm sorry, Gartex, I did not pick the Texans.
No, let me say something about Tennessee real quick, and I think Gartex will agree with me. Ever since Vince Young came back, they're not a bad team on paper.
No,
and
but, you know,
they're going to beat some teams this year.
They were dogging on Vince Young, though, because he's a runner, and he doesn't sit in the pocket. You know, everybody was like, if you're going to survive in this league, you got to learn how to sit in the pocket. Well, I'm sorry, but as long as it's getting a W, I don't care, you know, what kind of, you know, thing he's doing. And quite frankly, they're going to have to develop something to stop him, because last night, our defense couldn't stop him. And a lot of those first downs hurt us, and they turned into scores. And our inability to, you know, well, of course, us racking up penalties and missing field goals. But I'll tell you what, that was a heated game. You see some of the fighting in that game, man? That was cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what rivalry's about, man. I was like, yeah.
That's true football. Yeah,
I agree with you. I mean, I think a good quarterback doesn't just sit in the pocket. I mean, look at Ben Roethlisberger. He doesn't sit in the pocket all the time. He'll run.
Look at Drew Brees.
Yeah, exactly. Another perfect example.
That guy
throws
a
football. So any good quarterback will not sit in the pocket.
Yeah. Drew Brees throws a football. He really impressed me. Really impressed me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I can't wait to see the Monday night game next week. That is going to be a good game.
That too.
That's going to be New England again versus New Orleans.
Yeah, you know, they were talking about New England on the Sunday night post game after we got off the air. I watched the end of the game. And they were saying that they're still including, even though they have Indianapolis and New Orleans as the two undefeated teams, they also have the Vikings, who were off to a very good start. And they still include New England as the, what do I want to say, the benchmark for these teams. So the Colts have already beaten them just barely.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, the Patriots went for it on fourth down on their own 26 with the lead.
Right.
Bill Belichick's drinking again at halftime. but let's see what they do against
the Orleans. Crazy Kool-Aid.
Because what's that, gargle man?
He was drinking some crazy Kool-Aid.
Okay, I thought you were doing your impression of the Chinese leader there for a second. Gartex, you got to go back at some point and download just the entrance. I played a special clip about Obama, and it was pretty cool.
Okay.
That was pretty cool. Okay, so just real quick before we move on from football, our guest Debbie from Taking Back Washington is on the line. We're going to bring her on in just a second. Gartex, I wanted to ask you, though, because no one had the answer. Did we have that big game between Florida and Alabama yet?
No.
That's this weekend, right?
Yeah, I think it's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what did Texas do? Have they closed out the year yet?
Yeah, we're pretty much there. We got A&M this Thursday, and which that shouldn't be a big deal. And then after that, I think everybody's saying we're going to play Nebraska for the Big 12 South. So after that would be the Big 12 championship there, and then we just move on from there.
And Nebraska's pretty weak this year, so they're weaker than they normally are, let me say. They're not a weak team by any means, but
right. But the guys over in College Station are pretty hyped up about this game. It's a big rivalry game, Texas and Texas A&M. It's a big deal.
Okay, well, let's really quick here. We've got some new people in the room. We've got Gartex on the line, as we said. We have been joined by guest 10, who is actually Lisa Marie. Welcome to the show.
Actually, Double K, Lisa happens to be a very good friend of mine from a long time ago. We just reconnected on Facebook, and she was my best friend in junior high school.
Wow, she should call in and we should get some dirt.
And we had lunch a couple weeks ago.
Awesome.
In fact, Lisa, I'm going to call you so we can have lunch this weekend.
Let's do lunch. Let's do lunch, Lisa.
Yeah, we
and
had
then we
lunch.
Have guest
and then
11, we have guest 11 in the room who is saying New Moon was a good movie. And I've heard it looks pretty neat from the highlights. It's kind of a soapy, campy type of series, but I like the first one. It was all right.
I don't think my pants were tight enough to get into that movie. Because I'll tell you what, dude. Well, we went to go see that movie, The Blind Side, and I walked in there. I saw the line for New Moon, and I swear, if they advertised Chuck Taylors and tight pants that were painted on you, and this is a guy, I'm not talking about like a person, like a dude wearing pants that were so tight. I was like, man, where do you put it, bro?
Ouch.
Tuck it way back. Put on the thong.
I'm just curious about Guest 11. Where are you from, Guest 11? And
yeah, let us know.
Give us a name. Could be your real name, fake name, nickname.
And a place, definitely.
And a place.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd like to know.
I'm gonna go ahead here. We have because we're gonna start to get into our politics and news stories and whatnot.
Right.
I would like to welcome to the show Debbie from Taking Back Washington. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Debbie.
Thanks for having me. Hi.
It's awesome to have you here.
Now,
I understand you're no longer doing your show, or?
I think I'm actually going to revamp it and start it up after the first of the year. We just released a new film, and it's just taken up so much time that I can't prepare properly, and I just can't go into it cold, so.
Wow. Well, I just want to say very quickly that I came across the show scanning through and listening, and I really enjoyed it. I imagine it's still available for download. We'd really like to see it come back on the radio. Why don't you tell us about this movie that you put together?
Well, I actually do research, but I work with a group of independent filmmakers, and our new release is called Camp FEMA. And
okay.
If you have ever had any questions about FEMA camps in the United States, there's your answer. the Camp FEMA goes through the legislation with regards to FEMA and the detention centers that FEMA's allegedly putting together. But the legislation is there, and there's quite a bit of information in there. They talk about Rex 84, which is a readiness exercise of 1984, and the FEMA, the Base X, there's tons of information in that film with regards to the legislation and whatnot with FEMA camp. So.
Cool.
Bizarre.
If you put the link up in the chat room, we'd be glad to read it for sure.
I'll do it.
Now,
yeah, absolutely.
Now, I'm Canadian, so you'll have to forgive my ignorance, but what exactly is that? Like, what exactly is that group you're speaking of in the movie? The Camp FEMA.
About the FEMA camp?
Yeah.
FEMA is the Federal Emergency Management Agency in the United States. And it came about in the Carter administration. So it's, I mean, it's been part of the United States for quite a few years. And it came together at the hands of, actually, it was interesting. They put it together in the film. The history behind it is that Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld had a hand in actually getting it to Carter and getting it past FEMA. And it was founded for the handling of national emergencies, as Katrina is a recent example of that. Hurricane Rita, Hurricane Katrina, which Hurricane Katrina was a disaster.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
But one of the things that FEMA is supposed to be doing is there's supposed to be legislation in place, and if you do a little bit of research, they've actually got a new piece of legislation in place called H.R. 645, which is the National Emergency Centers Act.
Mm-hmm.
And that talks about establishing detention centers around the United States, at least no fewer than 6 detention centers around the United States, which the language of the bill is like the language of all kinds of bills that pass for law in the United States. It's ridiculous. And, of course, one of the highlights, the things that's a highlight for me in all these kind of bills is you're going through, you're reading the bill, and you come to a spot where it says, and to meet other appropriate needs as determined by the Secretary of Homeland Security. Yeah.
Mm. Leaving it open, in other words.
Do what now?
Leaving it wide open.
Exactly. And see, that's how they got the Patriot Act. Not the Patriot Act. What was the recent? The FISA Amendment Act recently, in October of last year, which gave immunity to the telecom companies for illegally spying on United States citizens. They got that passed because they added it to the Paul Wellstone Mental Health Act because of the line for other purposes. They added it to the Paul Wellstone Mental Health Act, and they passed mm-hmm. the FISA Amendment Act, which allowed immunity to be granted to AT&T and other various telecom companies that participated in illegally wiretapping United States citizens.
Really?
No. Yep. Yep, they did. So, but as far as Camp FEMA goes, in Camp FEMA we have quite a guest list of quote-unquote patriot members. You're talking about Alex Jones, John Stat Miller, Charlie Meadows, Catherine Bleich of Liberty Restoration Project, and many, many others. Chuck Baldwin of the Constitution Party ran for president in 2008. Michael Badnarik, who ran in 2004 for the Libertarian Party. And they're all discussing what's going on in the United States now that everybody's missing.
Right.
And you're right. And it's a lot of information in one film. They're already working on part 2, which will have to do with forced vaccinations or the possibility of forced vaccinations and the possibility that the vaccine is a bioweapon anyway. And, you know, there's a lot of information out there that people are just missing because, for one thing, the mainstream media is just not reporting it, period. And when they do report it, they report it quite falsely.
Are you speaking now of the H1N1 vaccine?
No, I'm. Any of it. I mean, any of it, really. But specifically today, recently, within the last 3 days or so, there's been a CNN program. They did a series on militia, the militia movement in the United States.
Right.
And how the militia is growing. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
Yeah.
But they did a program on Oath Keepers, and I mm-hmm. don't know if you're familiar with the Oath Keepers or not, but it's a group of veterans, military, active military, active peacekeepers or police officers, as they like to be called peacekeepers, and firefighters that have sworn to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States
mm-hmm.
and the republic against all enemies, foreign and domestic, which is the oath that they take. But part of the oath that they take now is to obey the President of the United States. But if the President says that they need to go round up civilians and force them into these, detention camps, then the Oath Keepers, the members of the Oath Keepers, will not participate in that. They won't refuse that order. And that's what the Oath Keepers is about. And so CNN recently did a program. They did the militias, and then they did Oath Keepers. And what came out of that is that CNN basically, it was basically a hit piece on the Oath Keepers, but also on patriotic Americans who want to defend our way of life and our freedoms and liberties and feel like the government is overreaching. And so what CNN, one of the quotes directly out of that film, which was really interesting, is that he says, Jim Acosta says that there is no proof the government is building detention camps around the country. Well, Halliburton got the contracts. That was released back in 2005, 2006. There was information released back then about Halliburton getting the contracts to build those camps. And H.R. 645, which is actually an Obama administration act, it's very clear. It's a relocation centers. They want to build no fewer than six, or they want to take over old military bases, no fewer than six, and convert them into housing, educational, medical, and humanitarian needs facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now,
I mean, the proof is there, but CNN is not looking at the proof. I mean, and the proof comes from the Obama administration, but it also comes back as far as the Carter administration.
CNN never looks at the proof, nor do they tell us the truth,
no.
As far as I'm concerned.
No, they really don't.
That
anyway, it's true. But what is disturbing is that you have John Acosta with CNN stating there is no proof. So people that believe CNN are going to say, y'all are a bunch of crazies, just like they've said for years and years. Let me tell you. I've been in alternative radio for 8-9 years now, and unfortunately, many of the things that alternative radio and alternative media reports on, it's either happened, it will happen in the near future, or it will happen in the, 5 to 10 year future. And we heard, I think it was late last year, early this year, we heard Sean Hannity on Fox News talking to Bill Bennett, and he said, those wacko crazies that come out of the closet, they come up with all these conspiracy theories. Well, they were right about this one, talking about something that happened last year.
Right.
But they've been right more than they've not been right. And I had a lady that's she was very active in the Democratic Party. She voted for Obama. She was excited about Obama. I don't know what y'all stand is on him, so I don't mean to offend anybody, but she
was
very...
Are you asking for my opinion on Obama?
Okay.
And he's Canadian.
Am I asking your opinion on Obama? Is that what I'm doing?
I don't care for the gentleman, let's put it that way.
Okay.
We at Double Talk Radio are not friends of Obama by any means.
No, no, we're not. But she was a huge, staunch supporter of Obama, and she called me the middle of the summer this year, and she said, I just need to talk to somebody. She said, I am so frustrated. I thought he was going to bring in change. He's done nothing he said he would do, and I'm frustrated. And I said, well, of course you are. And she said, I want to tell you that I am a Democrat, she said, but I can't believe the Democrats have supported him and stand by him to this day after he has basically stabbed them in the back. And my response to her was, I'm sorry for your pain, I said, but at least you know what's going on now. But Democrats could have looked back to the FISA amendment vote, which if anybody knows too much about the FISA amendment vote of last October, you know that Obama voted for that, and that was the language in that bill was directed directly at our Fourth Amendment rights to privacy.
Wow.
It was a direct attack on our Fourth Amendment rights to privacy. And Obama, as a presidential candidate in October, voted against the Constitution, which he swore to uphold and defend,
mm-hmm.
by voting for the FISA Amendment Act. And what was so funny was, now, Russ Feingold, who is a Democrat but also voted against the FISA Amendment Act, Russ Feingold came on TV right after the vote, and he said, they asked him a question, and he said, the only way to overturn this egregious piece of legislation is to elect a Democrat for president in the White House in 2008.
Apparently, holy crap.
Exactly. Apparently, however, Russ Feingold was not aware of how his candidate voted on this bill. Because he was proud to vote for it.
Hmm.
You know, most of this, you know, just as a thought, is this has been all a lot of smoke and mirrors where he said stuff and then he's done other things. And he's just bamboozled a lot of people to do this. And somehow in my knowledge that I knew FEMA was created in the Carter administration for some odd reason. And, you know, having them, you know, deal with the army bases and, you know, and all this other stuff. And now it's hit home in terms of the Obama administration doing this, all of this stuff now. This really is bad.
Well, what people don't understand is there was a ton of horrible legislation passed during the Bush administration. But none of that legislation, except for the Patriot Act and the reauthorization of the Patriot Act and the re-reauthorization of the Patriot Act recently under the Obama administration, affected Bush directly. Most of what passed towards the end, like 2005, 2006, which carries over to the Obama administration.
Obama is the
most powerful president we have ever had in the United States.
A lot of that stuff carries over, even though it may be put in place today, it won't hit anything until a couple years. So you're setting up the next president to do anything he wants.
And Obama has almost unchecked powers at this point. Bush had some unchecked powers, but, you know, Obama has nearly unchecked powers now. I mean, with the Patriot Act, you know, that has a provision in it for sneak and peek, which means that the authorities can come into your house without your knowledge and search your house. How is that constitutional? This is what people need to be asking. The question people need to be asking is this law constitutional? Not if it's supported by a Democrat or Republican. Is it constitutional? Because our constitutional rights in the United States of America were given to us by our Creator, not by the laws of the land and not by the politicians in D.C. That is clearly stated in our Constitution. So,
yeah.
You know, the question needs to be, do they have blind allegiance to their party, or are they defending and protecting the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, because that's the oath they take when they take off.
Right.
Excellent. Isbia from Canada in the chat room has a question here. Do they not have privacy laws in the United States?
Oh, sure. We have a right to privacy. That's our Fourth Amendment law. It's our Fourth Amendment right to privacy. However, the FISA Amendment bill, you know, with the September 11 terror attacks, and, you know, that's a whole other can of worms.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we are going to talk something about that in a bit, but go ahead.
Well, with the September 11th terrorist attacks and the passage of the Patriot Act, we lost quite a few of our rights, so to speak. We were also told that because of the times and because of the horrible circumstances we find ourselves in with regards to terrorist networks and terrorist cells in the United States, that we need to redefine privacy. Donald Kerr told us that we need to redefine privacy, mm-hmm. because privacy can no longer mean keeping your information safe from government and banks. We need to redefine privacy so that you can, you know, so that the banks can protect you, basically, from yourself and from terrorists.
Right.
Isn't that lovely? Yeah. So we've been told that we have to redefine our privacy, and we need to accept it. We need to just decide that's what we need to do and accept it. And I'm not willing to do that. You know, my right to privacy is my right to privacy given to me by my creator and not by the people in Washington, D.C. And so I'm here to say that they need to pass laws that are constitutional, and I fight for that every day.
Glad to hear there's someone out there doing it. Glad to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely need more fighters out there, that's for sure.
And we are on your side on Double Talk Radio, that's for sure. We talk about mainstream media and how they don't tell the whole story, and we try to blow the cover on it week in and week out. So we are pretty much in line with what you're saying tonight.
Job, and we appreciate you for being there, because, you know, the more voices that are out there, this is the other thing, too. The more voices that are out there, the more people we can reach. And, you know, some people like a certain style of radio, and some people like they don't like this, but they like that. And so it takes all types of radio. You know, I know a lot of people in the States that don't care for Alex Jones. I don't know if you know who Alex Jones is, but a lot
he's
of
from
people
Texas.
Don't care for Alex Jones.
Our Texas knows him.
Texas in the
Austin.
House.
Yeah. And Alex is a really nice guy, but he's extremely over the top. So people feel uncomfortable with Alex. He's too boisterous. He's too loud. But there's John Stadtmiller, who's very calm and sedate, but he gets his point across because he's extremely intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there is some crossover, but, you know, and so we need all kinds of voices, and people need to embrace alternative radio, because that's where they're going to get the real news.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way that is.
Well, hey, we agree with you on that. I mean, we like to incorporate a little bit of comedy and a little bit of variety into it, but usually in the second half of the show, we get into some pretty deep and some pretty good conversations.
Well,
so,
you know, there's nothing wrong with keeping it light. You can inform people keeping it light as well as you can being super serious.
Indeed.
Now, Debbie, out of curiosity, are you by any chance a member of the 912 Project?
I am not.
You're not?
I am not.
Just a question.
I have.
It seems like everybody's joining the 912 Project these days, so.
You know, I'm not part of the 912 Project, and I'm not part of the Tea Parties either. steer clear of some of that, although, you know, I support people who want to be involved in all that. I think it's good, but we just kind of steer clear of a little of that and just do our own research and do our own stuff, so.
Right.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple of issues on board tonight that we want to talk about, and we'd like to get your opinion in on these things. I know Violet has something that she's going to bring up in just a second, but one of the things we talk about all the time is the healthcare reform over on your side of the border, and the envy that you have of Canada, which I think is quite misleading, in my opinion, being a non-socialist Canadian. But what's your opinion on that, Debbie?
Well, the healthcare bill, again, the question needs to be asked, is it constitutional? It's absolutely not constitutional. We know just from the recent Cash for Clunkers program that if the healthcare bill goes like the Cash for Clunkers program, it's not going to be a $1 trillion bill. It's going to be a $3 trillion bill, and it's already going to bankrupt America, even though the politicians, including Obama, and I have a clip of that somewhere, him saying, I will not sign this bill unless it's deficit neutral, which means it won't add to our deficit. Where are you going to get $1 trillion if it's not going to add to your deficit? Somebody needs to explain
right.
math to me.
Especially in this economy. The tax
exactly.
base has shrunk. The tax base
and
has shrunk so considerably that the money's just not there. The money's not there to play with.
Right. And, of course, one of the things they're doing, I've noticed, is, for instance, and I actually am a proponent of alternative medicine, but mm-hmm. I know that recently they came out with their new guidelines as far as breast exams go for mammograms and whatnot.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And the timing of that is incredibly, incredibly peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of the sudden, and I have some information that mammograms actually don't help as much as they say they do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a history of problems with your, a history of breast cancer in your family, then you need to go get a mammogram.
Right, absolutely.
But, you know, their new thing is not even to not have the mammogram till you're 50, but quit doing self-exams as well. How is that constitutional? Again, not constitutional. It's my right to do what I need to do with my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as testing for that. And I'm waiting to see if they're going to come out with something as far as prostate cancer and screening for that as well. I mean, because the timing is incredible. You know, we've got a lower cost of health care. We're going to, instead of getting rid of the fraud, instead of going after the fraudulent filers and all of that, they're going to cut Medicaid for elderly. I mean, did you read that?
Yeah, I did hear that.
Wow.
And the problem is these people can't go back to work and make extra money to pay the extra for the extra services that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we're going to go and we're going to ensure people that need to go to work and need to figure out how to stay healthy. You know, pick alternative choices in your life so that you stay healthy.
Right.
But we're going to cut the elderly's, you know, this just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And
so
the other thing I heard too is a way for them to pay for this health care that they're proposing is that by taxing for certain things, such as, okay, so they're going to propose that women get mammograms starting at 50 rather than what the Cancer Society says at 40. If you choose to do it earlier than what the government wants you to do it, then they're going to tax you for that procedure.
Yep. Isn't that amazing?
You know, or
you're trying
or
to
if
stay
you're,
healthy.
Exactly. Or if you're a diabetic, they're going to tax you on your insulin, on everything that you need to stay healthy. That's how they're going to pay for it. And, that's how people are going to end up paying more. As a matter of fact, there was a caller the other night on Sean Hannity's show, and he's actually been a big critic of Sean Hannity. And he calls it all the time. And he finally turned around and he said, you know what? He goes, this health care bill is not good because he says, right now I'm paying $3,000 a month for my health care for me and my wife. And she goes and she does
That's
everything
crazy.
She wants. She gets, every year she gets a mammogram. She gets tested for cancer and all this. He goes, I did the math. And if this health care bill gets passed, I'm going to end up paying $2,000 to $3,000 more a month.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And that's just to stay healthy.
Yes.
There's something wrong with the thinking there. I mean, what happened to, I think that a much better use of our time and money, although I don't think money needs to play a role in it, but I think a much better use of our time and money would be to actually settle in on preventative care,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
No, we can't do that.
Right, and I was never.
The big talk over here now is preventative care.
I mean, I was never against healthcare reform. I just didn't. I think what they're trying to do right now is too fast. It's only a Band-Aid, and it's going to be a big failure. What they need to do is to work and change a little bit some of the things with the health insurance companies. One of the things they need to get rid of is pre-existing conditions.
Right. But let me just throw something out there for you to think about. One of the things that somebody in your chat says they'll give pre-breast exams, that's great. you make me lose my train of thought.
Dark text. You'll get used to him.
One of the things that, you you know, we need to think about is again, we live in a free market society. It's
right.
not free anymore. In fact, we're socialist almost. But
exactly.
Our government is socio-fascist, really, is what our government is now. But mm-hmm. we technically, we live in a free market society. So when somebody's in business,
mm-hmm.
you close the business down by not participating in the business when they do egregious things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a twofold thing that's going on here. And from what I see, number one, how in a country, when in a free country that is a free market society, do you tell a business owner how he's going to run his business?
Right.
And number two, I lost number two. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Anyway, you know, my point is that number we can control the market, and we can control insurance companies that aren't going to do what's fair and right and good for society, you know, as far as what you're talking about, as far as, you know, exceptions, and you can't get this kind of coverage because you have a pre-existing condition. That's not right.
Right.
I mean, either you're going to insure, and if people understand, you know, insurance is another one of those things that's really, it's egregious in and of itself. The business itself is kind of like banking. And both of them are really egregious as far as, you know, what they do and how they treat people. But, you know, we should be able to say, I'm not taking that coverage because you know, I'm not paying that, and back off. But if the government, there's my other point, the government is going to force us to seek insurance, so we're going to have to pay somebody. And chances are those people who are not insured
mm-hmm.
in the United States are going to get the worst coverage, and they're going to be forced to pay for the worst coverage.
Right.
And it's a waste of their resources and their money. You know?
Agreed.
It's just a waste.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it sounds like they are going to force this health care on us.
Oh, yeah, they are. And they're going
to
find
you are 100% right. You are 100% right that once you go down the path of taking this health care and modeling after your neighbors to the north, which is us, Canada, you will truly become a socialist country. And you're right. It is a little bit of socio-fascist, as you like to put it, because I often say on this show that the Canadians are a fascist country.
When government runs business, it's fascist. The United States, our government has bought into the insurance industry, the car industry, the housing industry, and now we're going into health care.
Right.
And, you know, I don't mean to drop off topic here, but I noticed something tonight when I was, I can't remember if I was reading it or watching on the news, that 23% of Americans right now owe more on their mortgages than their houses are worth.
Oh, yeah.
And another state of your economy in there.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And what's funny is they continue to say, well, our economy's on the mend. Oh, hell no, it's not on. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not on the mend.
and listen, we have the same thing over here where we've been in a pretty deep recession ourselves, and it's been a really rough past, 12 or 13 months. They keep talking to us about this recovery. They keep talking to us about this recovery. It is brought on by the government through the media. It is false. It is not happening. If you talk to the people, if you look at the true economic indicators, if you can really read that kind of stuff, it is not happening. There are some little false hiccups that are happening in the stock exchanges. That's what they're basing it on. It is not true. Look at the strength of your dollar right now. It is still majorly weak compared to the Canadian dollar. And that's
right.
One of my indicators, and it shouldn't be there.
And it's continuing to fall.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Because we were discussing this the other night, because of the way our I guess it would be microeconomics work. The way things are priced over in the States compared to how things are priced over in Canada, the pricing has not changed, but the dollar is still dipping. So the value of our dollar in the States is huge. That is not good for the trade for both economies. We rely heavily on the American investment in this country. It is not good for either side of the border. All the money is going out in Asia, and we are not out of the woods yet, guaranteed.
Oh Oh, no, and you take into consideration the fact that China owns so much of our debt.
Mm-hmm.
So much of our debt. And I heard today that our debt matures every 43 weeks, and then we have to refinance. I heard that on Glenn Beck today, and I'm not a huge fan of Glenn Beck's, but I do listen to Glenn Beck every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, Steve Forbes is the one that said that on Glenn Beck today. Our debt in the United States matures every 43 weeks, not 43 years, 43 weeks. And
I believe it.
Then
so Debbie, you're not going to jump on the Sarah Paulin Glenn Beck ticket in 2012 then?
No.
First of all, I don't know where he heard that.
It's in my own little mind.
Your own mind.
But somebody
but
put
see
it
that
there.
As a good ticket? you see that as a good ticket for the United States?
Anything's an improvement on Barack Obama.
Well,
I hear Disney Pixar needs somebody to play Dumbo in the next movie.
Here we go. And he's Canadian.
Well, I'm going to tell you. You know what's funny is you talk about Obama, if you want to talk about him for a minute, and you want to talk about the his Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, I'd love to. Still think I'm in a bad dream over that one.
I am too. I'm still feeling that one from Al Gore's, but you talk about
indeed.
and I'm staying now with the email debacle over there in England and the hackers stealing the emails that are proving that, you know, they've done some manipulation of data and whatnot. That
yes,
Al Gore,
I heard that
from the beginning that Al Gore needs. That Nobel Prize needs to be rescinded, and
yeah.
has been for a long time. Obama's should never have been given to him because that is clear. I mean, the credibility of the Nobel Peace Prize is now totally in question because he's not
tainted.
Done anything.
It is totally tainted.
It is.
Yeah, you should give those out as like lottery gifts. Like anybody could win one.
It would look good on my
well,
resume.
That's what just happened.
Where do I apply?
There you go.
I recycled all my leaves this year. I should get a Nobel Peace Prize.
Well,
or Nobel whatever, science prize.
Well, I'll tell you, the awarding of a prize for the intentions and thoughts of the man rather than the actions are incredible. And, of course, they questioned that what he would do with his Afghanistan business, the troops in Afghanistan, you know, it's funny to me that they claim that he's a peace president when one of the very first things he did when he took office was to send drones into Pakistan. That mm-hmm. one of the very first things he did. That's not peaceful. How is that peaceful? The other thing he was supposed to do is withdraw troops from Iraq. Oh, he withdrew some troops from Iraq. He sent them to Afghanistan. He didn't mm-hmm. bring them home.
No. And he said he was.
You know? Exactly. He said he was, and he didn't. He moved them to Afghanistan. So how is that peaceful? That's not peaceful at all. He didn't do anything he said. He was gonna close Gitmo. Can't close Gitmo. You know, can't do that. Not sure that's necessarily
yeah.
a great idea. I think they need to get the crazy torture people out of Gitmo. But, you know, as far as closing it, I don't know that that's a good idea. I'd have to think a little more on that one. But, you know, he's not done what he said he would do, and now they're basing this. And the funny thing about the Nobel Prize is
mm-hmm.
they had to nominate him. There was like 2 or 3 weeks right after he was elected president. The deadline
right.
was like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
so
he was just a few weeks into his presidency. So,
exactly.
Yeah. It's
He's got
that.
Friends in high places. I wonder if Oprah Winfrey got him that nomination.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
You think
well,
so?
Oprah could get Mickey Mouse elected, man.
Well, they both wear the same hat, don't they?
And they got the same ears, too.
Indeed.
Bad, bad, bad.
They are.
Well,
and what's bad is that now we're trying terrorists in New York City as,
yes.
like, civil people. And that is horrible.
I'm glad you brought that up, Gartex, and I'm going to interrupt everybody just for about 2 minutes. I have a little clip I want to play, and we wanted to talk about that tonight. You're a mind reader. So I'm just going to key this in for a few minutes just for anybody who doesn't know what's going on with the trying of the terrorists from 9/11 in New York. Let's take a quick listen to this. You are listening to Double Talk Radio here on TalkShoe. It is Tuesday night. Join us on the homepage at doubletalk.bigbig.com. If you'd like to call into the show, the number is 1-724-444-7444. The extension is 58563. We'd love to have your calls. Let's check into this story.
Can you give me a case in United States history where an enemy combatant caught on a battlefield was tried in civilian court?
I don't know. I'd have to look at that. I think that, you know, the determination I've made...
We're making history here, Mr. Attorney General. I'll answer it for you. The answer is no.
Well, I think...
The Ghilani case, he was indicted for the Cole bombing before 9/11, and I didn't object to going into federal court. But I'm telling you right now, we're making history, and we're making bad history. And let me tell you why. If bin Laden were caught tomorrow, would it be the position of this administration that he would be brought to justice?
He would certainly be brought to justice, absolutely.
Where would you try him?
Well, we'd go through our protocol, and we'd make the determination about where he should appropriately be tried.
Would you try him? Why would you take him someplace different than KSM?
Well, that might be the case. I don't know. I'd have to look at all of the evidence, all of the...
Well,
He's been indicted already.
Does it matter if you use the law enforcement theory or the enemy combatant theory in terms of how the case would be handled?
Well, I mean, Bin Laden's an interesting case in that he's already been indicted in federal court. We have cases against
him. Right. Well, where would you put him?
It would depend on how...
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say we capture him tomorrow. When does custodial interrogation begin in his case? If we captured bin Laden tomorrow, would he be entitled to Miranda warnings at the moment of capture?
Again, I'm not. That all depends. I mean,
well, it does not depend. If you're going to prosecute anybody in civilian court, our law is clear that the moment custodial interrogation occurs, the defendant, the criminal defendant, is entitled to a lawyer and to be informed of their right to remain silent. The big problem I have is you're criminalizing the war, that if we caught bin Laden tomorrow, we have mixed theories and we couldn't turn him over to the CIA, the FBI, or military intelligence for an interrogation on the battlefield, because now we're saying that he is subject to criminal court in the United States. And you're confusing the people fighting this war. What would you tell the military commander who captured him? Would you tell him you must read him his rights and give him a lawyer? And if you didn't tell him that, would you jeopardize the prosecution in a federal court?
We have
very well spoken, I think. Okay. Final one. Why don't you give us a lowdown of this story here?
Well, first of all, for those who are not sure, or don't know, KSM is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He's the mastermind behind 9/11, and he's been held up in Guantanamo Bay. Now, he has already admitted guilt joyfully. He has absolutely no remorse whatsoever. So basically, I mean, quite frankly, this whole thing with the trial is not to bring him, not to give him a fair federal trial or whatever it is they want to call it. It's basically to put the Bush administration on trial. It's basically what it is.
Okay.
So, but I think it's horrendous. I think it's absolutely horrendous. I have a good friend that died that day. He happened to work for Cohen Fitzgerald, which was on the top floor of the World Trade Center, and he went down with the building. He was up on the 101st floor.
Okay.
And I think to put his family through this whole thing, and the families of all the victims through this once again, I think is wrong. I mean, he has admitted guilt. So, and he hasn't backed down from that.
Right. Well, what's interesting, too, is that we're going to put these New Yorkers, the families of the victims, the New Yorkers themselves. I mean, so many people were touched by this in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to bring this guy to New York, and we are going to try him in New York, and these people are going to have to face this all over again.
Right.
And yet, the day of 9/11, the day of September 11th, they quit. You know, the government said, you can't show this, you can't show that, we can't talk about that because of the victims. We don't want to hurt the victims anymore. You know, the pain of the victims, the pain of the victims. And yet they're going to bring him to New York from Guantanamo Bay and try him blocks away from the actually where the tower stood.
Right.
Wow.
And
I
you
wish
know,
they'd bring him to Texas.
to say that you know, I'm one of these people that questions the official government story of 9/11 anyway.
Right.
But even at that, I mean, he has admitted, like you said, he admitted the guilt joyfully. So how are you going to subject these people to this?
Exactly.
You can't do it. It's unconscionable. And yet they're going to do it. And Eric Holder says, oh, well, you know, this is what we're going to do. I mean, basically,
right.
It's the attitude. This is what we've decided to do. Just suck it up and do it.
Right.
That's just totally amazing.
Right. And what's going to happen is they're going to get him a lawyer, or they've got him
a
lawyer.
No, we're going to pay for his lawyer.
Right.
The taxpayer
pay for his, exactly. Yeah. We're going to pay for his lawyer, but they're going to get him a lawyer. Most likely, it's going to be probably a liberal lawyer. Okay, and then I mean they're gonna. I mean, oh, God forbid that he should find some kind of loophole.
Oh, and you know they will. They will.
Yeah,
I mean,
if this guy gets set free, it's gonna be World War III in this country alone.
Yeah.
What bothers me, I guess, is from what I understand, from what I've read and heard about the story, is that because it's a civilian trial, all this information now becomes public and available to other people.
Right.
That's scary.
That's
very scary.
That's very scary. That's very scary that they would allow something like that.
So that now becomes not just a threat to the United States, but a threat to the rest of the free world.
Well, you know, and too, I'll just tell you, if I was in Canada, I would want to literally chop myself off from the United States. I have said this before. I would take a pickaxe and I would cut Canada from the United States. I would not want to be connected to the United States in any way. They're crazy.
You know, here it is. It's the largest undefended border in the world. We've always worked together so well. We've talked so many times on the show of the similarities that we have and the relationship that we have. But ever since Obama has come into power and all these freaky things have been happening, believe me, I'm getting scared. I'm getting scared.
Well, I tell you, I would not. The funny thing, too, when you talk about the border is, you know, we guard the Canadian border like crazy, but the Mexican border just, come on over. It doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, that's off topic. I didn't mean to get off.
That's all Texas' fault. That's because we like good Tex-Mex.
I'm going to tell you. I'm from Louisiana, and I lived in Texas for a while, and you cannot get spicy food into Central America. You just can't get it. They don't understand it. So I understand. I get it.
You're talking spicy food. You're talking my language now.
Me too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
It's great, but this whole 9/11 business and with this trial and moving it from Gitmo, you know, I'm just thinking that, you know, he must. I mean, it's almost like the Obama administration is just asking for trouble. They're just saying,
yes.
Do something. Come do something about it. What are you going to do? What you going to do? You know,
right.
It's like they're standing there in your face going, la, 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 I can do what I want. And you can't stop me because I'm the President of the United States.
Exactly. And basically, yeah, he's doing things and he's going completely unchecked. Nobody is saying,
yes.
whoa. Everyone's like, okay, so, you know, here you go. Free reign to everything.
Yep, exactly.
I have to say, I think people are starting to really notice now, even whoever it was who voted this, don't say it, Ken, whoever voted this guy into office, they're starting to notice, but I don't think anybody wants to have ink on them. You know, they don't want to say, hey, it was my fault. I was parlay to this awful, you know. Now no one wants to step forward and take credit for it.
They were all duped.
Yeah. Well, I live in Central Missouri. I live almost equally between St. Louis and Kansas City, in an extremely liberal part of Missouri. We have like 5 different colleges here, and these people in this town think Obama is the bomb diggity. Oh,
wow.
My gosh. And you talk to him and you say, but look, he did this. He did. No, he is bringing change. He is bringing hope. And we love him. And I'm thinking, you people have lost your mind.
You know, I see the same thing. I mean, I listen to a lot of talk radio, and I hear people calling in, and they just, for some reason, it's as if they've got blinders super glued to their eyes.
It's because we are living in such a dark, dark world, and this, not just the country, the world needs a hero. The world needs a bright star, and for some reason, they're tagging it on his back. Don't ask me why, but that's what's happening.
But don't you know that, I mean, if I was Obama, I'd be hiding in a corner shaking. I really would, because how much has been pinned on, you know, how much people are looking forward to what he is and is not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, I mean, if I woke up the morning that they announced the Nobel Prize and my name was called, I would crawl back in bed and I would not get up again.
Right.
I wouldn't have done it.
I am not kidding you. The morning I heard that, I'm lying in bed and I looked up and I lied my head down again and I looked up again and I thought, I'm dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nightmare. I am not really hearing this.
I did too. But you know, the other funny thing about that is, though, that you still have, even with all that, you still have Nancy Pelosi and you have Obama himself and Harry Reid and all of that are blaming 1,050 different pieces of legislation on the Bush administration. Well, we inherited his economic policy. No,
right.
You didn't inherit it. You voted for it. You pushed it.
Exactly.
Down our throat.
Exactly.
Pelosi, exactly. And, you know, and then when you got to office, Mr. Obama, because I refrain from calling him president. I really try not to do that. But, when you got to office, one of the other first things you did besides bomb Pakistan with drones is you had the stimulus ready to go. You had your stimulus package ready to go. And
right.
It's as big as the TARP bailout program, the Bush administration, which you voted for, by the way. You voted for that bill. Pelosi voted for that bill. You threatened Congress if they didn't vote for the bill. I mean, Pelosi did. Threatened Congress with martial law if they didn't vote for the bill. I mean, it's almost like they had no choice. Obama voted for the bill. So tell me how that became a Bush administration policy. Well, because it was passed under Bush. I'm not a fan of Bush either. Don't get me wrong. But these people are the same people who voted for the same crap. They voted for it.
Exactly.
Democratic for 2 years of the Bush administration. They could have done something. They didn't. They voted for the policies that Bush brought up.
Mm-hmm.
It's as much a Bush policy as it is a Democrat policy, in my opinion.
Right.
So they can't hide behind that. Yet that's what they say. Oh well, I inherited the economic disaster from the Bush administration. No, you didn't. You helped create it during the Bush administration. You were part of it then. You get what you started.
And and even not an issue that it's Bush's problem or Bush's recession. Obama has made it 10 times worse.
Oh yeah. Well, if you look at the one thing, and people think I'm crazy for talking about this, and I want somebody to understand what I understand about it. But take, for instance, I mentioned the Cash for Clunkers program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how familiar you are with the Cash for Clunkers program, other than the fact that you got to trade your car and you got an allowance to buy a new car.
Right.
Okay. The Cash for Clunkers program was a $1 billion program
mm-hmm.
that was supposed to last for 6 weeks.
Right.
That program went broke in 1 week.
Wow.
They blew through $1 billion in 1 week. They propped it up by passing an emergency funds thing and transferred $2 billion more dollars to the Cash for Clunkers program. Now, we're talking about a program that's supposed to be worth $1 billion, which is now worth $3 billion. Supposed to last for 6 weeks. They ended it early at 4 weeks. Do you understand what I'm telling you? The program, which is only about cars. This is only about cars. It's not about health insurance. It's not about our budget. It's not
mm-hmm.
about all of that. It's about cars.
Mm-hmm.
Was a $1 billion program supposed to last for 6 months. It ended up costing us $3 billion. Not 6 months, 6 weeks. It ended up costing us $3 billion, and it ended in 4 weeks. If the health care bill, which they keep saying, oh, it's $8.7 billion. No, it's $1.6 trillion.
Yes.
It's a $1.6 trillion health care bill. Let's just say that that bill goes the way of the Cash for Clunkers program. We're talking about I think we're talking about over $4 trillion at that point.
Wow.
Or right at $4 trillion.
Let's Where does that money come from?
Exactly.
You and
exactly.
me?
Exactly. That money.
Well, not you.
We don't have it. We're broke.
No,
yeah.
we're broke.
You know?
It does. Because, Garth, as I said again, I reiterate this time and time and time again when it comes to the health care. Where are you going to come up with this money? They're going to start taxing you to death. Your prices are going to start to go up. You're not going to be able to keep track of the cost of living. The minimum
right.
wage, the wages that people make are not going to keep up. The buying of the products is going to stall. You're going to go further into debt, and man, you're going to be in big trouble.
I'll tell you what, a lot of people are worried too about the whole deal with China, and that whole deal of them controlling our economy and what that has to do with us. You know, they start buying out our big companies. You know,
mm-hmm.
I hear that there's an offer on the table to buy Walmart from them, and
oh,
I mean it's just nuts.
Well,
yeah,
so
it is crazy.
Welcome to my nightmare. That's what happened to Canada. Everything in Canada, every business that was ever started in Canada was purchased by American companies. And I mean, it's nice that we have a really good relationship. But now that your country's starting to fall down the way a little bit, it's going to drag us right along with you. And the same thing's going to happen with China. China's going to own you. And then what happens if? And then you have no control of things. And when China starts to slip eventually, you're not even going to have a say. They're going to drag you right along with them.
Exactly. And the problem is that we have, I mean, not we, the Federal Reserve and the United States government has willingly sold these treasury bonds to them. Where
mm-hmm.
are we going to get the money to buy them back? We can't. We can't even, I mean, we can't, we are so far in debt right now, our children will not be able, we'd be lucky if our grandchildren can get us out of debt.
Oh,
I don't think our grandchildren will, and we'll be lucky if our we'll be lucky if the great grandchildren can.
Yep.
And now I'm hearing rumors that Nancy Pelosi wants another stimulus package. Where
yeah,
is the money going to come from?
Suggested that shortly after they passed this one. They said, well, you know, we might have to interject one more stimulus package to get the economy, you know, to jumpstart this economy because it's really worse than we thought. Yeah.
I just got to add two things to that. Number one, where is this stimulus money going and what exactly is it stimulating? And two,
oh,
is it not our promise that we are supposed to take care of our children and our grandchildren,
right,
and we are not doing a very good job of it at all?
And I'm
no.
sorry, I know the definition of the word stimulating, and by no means is that doing it to me at all.
it has a stimulating effect, it's just not the one you want.
We have the same thing over here, and listen, I am still waiting by the with my ear to the radio, my eyes on the newspaper, waiting to see when this money is going to start coming in and start doing something, and it's not.
Maybe we need to line up in Detroit and wait for our bills to be paid.
There you go.
I should have crossed the river that day.
Let me tell you what's funny to me. And this is kind of an aside. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but the United States purchases the majority of its oil from Canada. Are you aware of that?
From Alberta. Yep, from Alberta.
Yep.
I was not aware of that.
Well, our biggest that is where our money goes for oil, not to Iraq. I mean, Iraq is like fourth, fifth, or seventh. It's not first, second, or third. Okay, and Venezuela's part of this deal, too, you know, the top five or six. But the majority of our oil dollars go to Canada. So I have to ask myself, how is Canada, I mean, what has the United States done to Canada for Canada not to be doing better, and it's getting all of our oil dollars? Not all of it, but the majority of our oil dollars. You understand?
You
want to
know why? I'll tell you why. It's because it's American companies that are mining up there, and the money is not... None of this money ever goes back to the people.
Right.
The only benefit that is happening in Alberta is that they have no sales tax.
Oh, I see.
And what a shallow benefit that is. We are not benefiting at all. It's big business that's benefiting, and the money is all going offshore. I don't even think it's staying in the States.
And if I was a Canadian, again, if I was a Canadian, I would find a pickaxe. I would cut the United States free. I mean, we're not doing you any good, you know? We are basically raping and pillaging, basically.
We are unfortunately very comfortable with that relationship. You're protecting us. You invest a lot of money in this country that create a lot of jobs, and we are just a very lack of a nice word of putting it. We are a very timid people.
Yes.
Well,
polite. Wow. I would like to say.
Yes, polite.
And a very timid. I like that.
People.
I like that. I mean, I've been to Canada. I love it up there. I think Canada is a great country, but I think that at some point they're going to have to stand up and say, no. And let me just give you a rundown, because I just found my figures that I had. In April 2009 of this year, and this is the last copy of this I have. I don't have anything sooner. I'm sorry. Canada was our top supplier of oil, followed by Mexico, Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, and Nigeria. And Canada, after the top three, Canada, Mexico, and Saudi Arabia, Canada, we get twice as much oil from Canada as we do from Venezuela, which is our number four supplier.
Wow.
Twice as much oil from Canada as we do Venezuela.
There is a bigger pipeline going from Alberta to the United States than there is from Alberta anywhere in Canada, including Alberta to Alberta.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, wow.
And not only that, if you want to put something in perspective for yourself, we get more than three times as much oil from Canada as we do from Iraq. More than three times as much.
Yeah, but you gave us Oprah.
Canada...
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Didn't even trade in my book. Not.
Be careful.
How about Sally Jesse Raphael?
Sorry, it's my job to inject the odd little bit of humor, Debbie. I apologize. Continue, please.
Don't forget Dr. Phil.
You know, Dr. Phil,
what's
yes.
That?
Alternative Dr. medicine. Carry on. I'm sorry.
Alternative medicine. He's kind of scary too. But you know, this is what it floors me the more that I understand, I mean, the more that I see and the more that I understand about what's going on around, not just in the United States, but how we're affecting the world. Yeah, I know why people are angry at United States citizens. I get it. I'm angry at United States citizens, too. I can't believe it. I cannot believe what we do. It's amazing to me what we do. To know that we get that much oil from Canada, and Canada's not doing, you know, not in a better position than it is, and I'm not saying it's in a bad position, but you would think when we pay Canada, we buy more than three times as much oil from Canada as we do from Iraq, you would think that Canada would be better off. But they're not. And why is that?
No.
And of course they're better off than Iraq. I'm not saying that. But do you understand what my point is? I mean, it's a frustration to me. So,
how do you think we feel over in Canada? Like I said, go ahead and pillage us, but at least keep your government stable, please.
Yeah, well, and that's not happening either, is it?
No.
That I'll be making some people really, really angry.
Not just so much angry, but I'm not kidding you, scared.
Yeah, well, believe me, I'm scared too. And
what do you think?
The funny thing is, go ahead.
What do you think about this climate treaty that Obama's supposed to sign in December?
Oh, my gosh. Well, for years and years, not years literally, but for several years now, I have understood the climate, the global warming, and now it's climate change because the globe is not warming. Yeah, I have understood that to be junk science. I've looked at it as junk science. And, you know, I think it's about money, it's about position, it's about, you know, it's not about furthering the United States in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, not at all.
It's annoying. I can't believe that he would even consider it, although, you know, he's going to do it. You know he's going to do it.
Yeah, well, you know, this is what I heard. I heard that they had this in the planning, actually, a couple years ago. And but they only brought it out now because they knew Bush would not sign it.
Right.
So
well,
then Obama came into office, and they knew he was going to be on board with it completely.
Right. Right. And it just makes me want to reach out and touch someone, and not in a really pleasant way.
Yeah.
Well. You know. Fingers around the throat kind of thing.
Yeah.
Shake some sense into somebody.
I understand, because I feel that way a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
frustrating to sit back and watch people and say, and watch them say, oh, he's a great man. He's an okay guy. I'm not saying he's not an okay guy.
Right.
I'm not going to say that. But he is following... You know, people wanted change. They're not getting change. All they got was a change of residence in the White House.
Right, exactly.
A change from Bush to Obama. That's what we got. We didn't get any real change.
I got change.
And
I don't have anything that folds anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's about all I've got is change. And you know, people, it's hard to sit back and listen to people say, he's a great man. And I'll tell you one thing. I have watched him speak for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody writes his speech for him, he is a great orator. I will give him that.
Yes.
He can deliver a speech. But if somebody does not write his speech, and if somebody catches him off guard and asks him for comments, he's not that great.
No, he's not.
Well, heaven forbid it's not on the teleprompter.
Exactly.
Well, that's why he's nicknamed the teleprompter president.
Yep.
Sounds like more of a puppet than a president.
Well,
pull that roll of toilet paper out of your ears,
much,
lad.
You got it right there, Scotty. He is a puppet.
Exactly. I mean, he's doing exactly what he's told. And the other thing about the, I don't know how much you know about the background of the Obama administration, but it wouldn't have mattered if McCain had won because it would have been the same thing. Mm-hmm. Zbigniew Brzezinski had people on the Obama side, and he had people on the McCain side. It would not have mattered. One of his sons was campaigning for Obama. The other one was campaigning for McCain. And he's calling the
shots. Don't
think he doesn't have a hand in that. Exactly. Don't think he doesn't have a hand in that. And he's not from the United States.
So it's not going to matter who we vote in for the next, 4 or 8 years. Everybody else is going to be pulling the strings and telling them what to do.
Exactly. And one thing, William Lewis, who is the writer-producer on the projects that we do, one of the things that he said in an interview is he says, you know, it wouldn't be so bad. I mean, would it be so bad if we just didn't have a president for a while? It couldn't get worse. Could it get worse? I mean,
wow.
I don't think it could get worse. But, you know, and the other thing, too, something that people, and this is something that I've found in my research, and I have some friends and I are doing some more in-depth research. But I don't know if you're aware of how much of Obama's money came from one man, and that is George Soros.
Right.
George Soros, whether through his company, the company that he founded, or himself personally, donated $10 million to Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And if the other thing to think about right there is, why does it take as much money as Obama raised, which was an incredible amount of money,
yes,
for a job that pays $400,000 a year? That doesn't even make sense. It does not make sense. Because if he's a four-year president, he's going to get $1.6 million. I mean, he raised millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was astronomical.
Oh yeah, I remember how much it was. It was ridiculous.
I mean, it was completely ridiculous. But so now you have to ask yourself, well, what does George Soros have to do with anything? I don't know if you remember, it's been a couple of months now. The Obama administration, Obama particularly, okayed a deal with Petrobras of Brazil. Petrobras is the government-owned oil company in Brazil. And Obama okayed the drilling, the financing, to the tune of $1 billion. Now, where is he getting the $1 billion? Because we're broke. The United States of America is broke. Okay. So, to the tune of $1 billion. And guess who owns a substantial amount of stock in Petrobras? George Soros. So don't tell me that you can't buy votes in Washington, which we know they can, but that one is so blatant, it's not even funny. I mean, it's not like they even tried to hide that. You know?
Yeah.
So when you're talking about the money that's raised to campaign and blah, 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 you know, and if anybody wants, I don't know if you're aware, but if anybody wants a really good website to research the money in Washington, go to opensecrets.org. It's amazing. They keep up with everything. You go there and you can find out how much money they raised in, you know, for the presidency, how much money, you know, who's contributed to what, you know, the Democrats, Republicans, all-time donors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just as a matter of discussion, guess who is the all-time donor from 89 to 2008? AT&T. What passed in October of last year? The FISA Amendment Act. What did that do? Gave AT&T retroactive immunity for the illegal wiretapping of United States citizens. AT&T is top donor in the United States from that time period, and basically equally to Democrats and Republicans.
Wow.
I'm switching to Verizon.
don't even do that. You can't. Verizon is part of that deal, too. They were part of that illegal wiretap, too. You got to go to it's too bad you can't go to court. Which court, and you know, I mean, I don't know if you heard what happened there. Court was one of the only companies that stood up and said, we're not doing it. And a year later, the president and CEO of Court got caught for illegally trading. And now Court, I don't know if they're still in business or not, to tell you the truth. But it's insane. Guess who the number four donor for that time period was? You're not even going to believe it. Goldman Sachs.
Wow.
Don't even think for one second. And, of course, it's not the company. It's their political action committee and their employees donating money. Because you have to stay in the United States where you work to donate money. Did you know that? Anyway.
No, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yes, you do. You can't donate money. You can't just, I mean, you could throw them a 10, but if you're donating $100 or I don't remember what the cutoff is, you have to give your employment. You have to say where you work and your name and all of that in the United States. And so they know where these people work, so they can tally it up and they can tell you, well, so-and-so works at such-and-such and blah, 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 all the way down the line. Go to opensecrets.org. You will find a tremendous amount of information there. It's amazing what you'll find there. And then, if you needed something else to research, most of us don't, you know, some of us just don't have the time to do research, and I understand that. You know, I do it for a living because it's just what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the other things that you can go, one of the other places you can go research is, trying to remember it right now because I forgot to write it down, but it's amazing, and it's, I believe it's Legit Storm. I'll have to look it up. But if you go to Legit Storm, that actually tracks the salaries of the staff in Congress. And you, I mean, that's it. I'll put the link in the chat. You will not believe what we pay Congress. I mean, not Congress. I'm not talking about Congress. I'm talking about the staff, the congressman's staff. And let me just give you just a little bit of information on that. My senator is Claire McCaskill. She's a junior senator. She's only been there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Her staff, this last year, we paid her staff alone more than $2 million.
Jeez, yes. Louise.
Yes. And that goes for all of us. That's all the senator staff. We pay more than we pay the House of Representatives. Now, the House of Representatives staffs are usually anywhere between, you know, they're right at $1 million. Some are a little more, some are a little less. But the senator staff, $2+ million apiece. And we have like 51
wow.
senators.
Man, there's
start
money.
Start adding that up.
There's money trickling all over the place except for in our pockets, man. I should have become a politician.
Exactly. We're bleeding money.
Yeah.
We are bleeding money.
You can start running for office.
You know, the other thing that we found in some of our research is that when somebody becomes a part of Congress in the United States, they join the top 5% of earners in the United States. They get paid $174,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Is what we pay our representatives. We pay Nancy Pelosi more than that because she's Speaker of the House.
Right.
And that irks me to no end. I can't even tell you how bad that irks me that we pay her a dime. But,
yeah, probably a nice benefits package, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, sure they do. Absolutely.
That woman has so much money. I mean, the woman flies around in a private jet, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Debbie, is there something to bills being thrown in, like right around the holidays? Is that why? So that way there's not a lot of people around and they kind of keep it under the rug,
so to speak.
Yeah, they
do that. And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the main reasons people need to be diligent about this health care bill, because we're already to November. He wanted it passed by the end of the year. He wanted it passed before now, of course. Obama
yeah.
did. You know, they are going to push this bill. We just have to hope that they don't vote for it before December. They've got a whole nother year to debate it, and they still won't pass it even after that, hopefully. I don't think that's going to happen, but, I mean, I have a feeling this bill is going to pass. Just, you know, I just have this feeling, but Unbelievable.
Wow.
Well, so we need to stay on top of our congressman. And somebody said the other day, you know, you need to call him, you need to write him, you need to call him, you need to write him, you need to fax him. What we need to do is, you know, if you send an email, somebody pointed this out, if you send an email, they can ignore that. Start faxing them. You know, start mailing stuff. I have a friend that has a website called Kick Them All Out.
Mm-hmm.
He says don't vote for an incumbent, just period. It doesn't matter who it is. Just don't vote for incumbents.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a campaign called the Fire Congress campaign. And it's a pink slip. You print this pink slip. It says you're fired, and on the back you can put whatever you want. Well,
mm-hmm.
I mailed one to each one of my representatives and senators, and I put their voting record on it. And I said, you see this? This is what you voted for that's not constitutional. This is what you voted for that's not constitutional. I went down the list, and I said, we're watching you. You
right.
want a
mm-hmm.
job next year? I suggest you vote constitutionally. Because if you
yeah.
don't, we're not going to elect you again.
Right.
And you mail it to them. And if everybody did that, if everybody got on top of that, you know, we can make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's what a lot of, like Congresswoman, now her mind's slipping me. I'm sorry. But anyway, they're really urging people to talk to their you know, congressman or woman and senator and say, hey, you know, I mean, hold them accountable.
Well, exactly. And, you know, one of the things that we need to, you know, one of the things that needs to be brought to their attention is like Claire McCaskill. When I talked to, when I wrote her about the health care bill, for instance, I wrote
mm-hmm.
her and I said, look, you said, I have a recording of you saying that you will not vote for a bill that is not deficit neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the buzzword for the Democrats right now, not deficit neutral. Okay?
Okay.
Keep that in mind. I've heard more than one say it. So
huh.
I wrote her and I said you would not vote for a bill that was not deficit neutral. Do not vote for this health care bill because you and I both know if it goes the same way that the Cash for Clunkers bill went, which was an utter failure as far as money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might have bought a lot of people new cars, but it was an utter failure because it cost us three times what it was supposed to cost us.
Yep.
If the health care bill goes the same way, we are going to be drowning in debt. And there's nothing
special
about it. You can't take that back once it's done. Well, I think you can. I think somebody needs to, you know, the person that I'm going to campaign for and the person that I'm going to push for election is the one that comes in and says, I'm going to rescind every bill that was passed that's not constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Bring me a candidate that says that, and there you go. That's who I'm going to be for.
Wow.
Because this is incredible what is going on. The health care bill is not constitutional. Cash for Clunkers bill is not constitutional. We the people pay those bills. Did they come to you and say, do you think it's a good idea if I pass the Cash for Clunkers bill? No, they didn't. They passed it anyway. And now you've got all of these town hall meetings that went on during the August break. I'm sure everybody's heard about them.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had, I mean, they never had people showing up at town hall meetings until the health care debate came up.
Right.
And
right.
those town hall meetings, they had to move them because there were so many people
mm-hmm.
showing up for these town hall debates. And people were outraged and people were angry. And do you think they're listening to that?
No.
Do you think they're paying attention?
No.
No.
Not at all.
No.
What if Sarah
not.
Palin says all those things? What if she says, she gets up and decides to stand up for those things? Then what will you do?
Sarah Palin is going to have to prove some other things to me because I'm as a mother, I have to tell you one of the questions that I had about voting for Sarah Palin. And this may be, you know, not important to most people, but she just had a special needs baby when she ran for vice president. And so you're telling me that a mother of a special needs baby is going to be vice president of the United States? In that baby's formative years, I couldn't vote for her for that very reason. I couldn't vote for her because I mean, and I realize, you know, that's just minor. This is the country we're talking about. She has She quit her job as governor of Alaska before she even finished her first term. She did not finish it. How can she be trusted? She cannot be trusted. She is inexperienced. She didn't even finish. And to boot, she was going to sell her child down the river to be vice president of the United States. She's not my candidate, I'll tell you. She's just not.
I bet she runs as an independent if she does. I bet she
well,
doesn't
here's
go either.
Well, I think she's going to run, but and I wish I had the I'm hoping they posted on their website. There was actually a fisherman from Alaska that wrote in a letter in support of Sarah Palin about all the things that she has done while being governor in Alaska. I'm going to have to try to find this letter because it was actually a very good letter because I guess he was tired of Sarah Palin getting, you know, trashed by everybody and so he wanted, you know, he wanted the general public to know what she did that hasn't been told.
Well, and you know what? She did some interesting things. For instance, her deciding to drill for oil in Alaska was a good decision, in my opinion. If she wants her state to be self-sufficient, that's what they need to do. That's what the United States needs to do. If we want to be self-sufficient and not worry about foreign oil, except for Canada, because, you know, it would only do us good to support Canada's economy, in my opinion, since they're our northern neighbor. But, you know, if we don't want to depend on Iraqi oil, and we don't, if you notice, we get three times the oil from Canada, then we need to drill for oil here. You know? We need to become self-sufficient. So for her to start that in Alaska, I thought that was pretty good, personally. But that's probably the only thing I know of that she's done that's any good, in my opinion.
There were a number of things that this fisherman mentioned. He actually, I think he has lived most of his adult life. He's not from Canada, or Alaska. But he has lived most of his adult life in Alaska. But he had written a letter just listing a number of things that I hadn't heard of. Yeah, I'm going to try to find it if I can. Yeah. If I can,
well,
I know I can get I can get the podcast of the show that it was on. But
I'll tell you who has my vote if they run. That's Chuck Norris. Period.
My vote goes to Gwen Beck. I already told you that. Yeah, Gwen Beck. Not that I have one, but if I did.
How about Glenn Beck and Mr.
He's all about the Constitution.
Beck?
Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck used to report on CNN. Does everybody forget that?
Well, yes.
Glenn Beck,
he left CNN because he kind of felt like the redheaded stepchild.
Everyone deserves grace and deserves to be forgiven.
He left CNN after he got after Ron Paul got a hold of him. Then he left CNN. Before Ron Paul, in fact, in the beginning, he didn't even like Ron Paul. One of the most constitutionally minded men in the country was Ron Paul. And as far as voting, you know, voting record, if you want to show voting records and compare voting records, there have been three, and you could have a distant fourth with Russ Feingold, but there were three representatives to Congress in the United States that always had your back as far as constitutional issues go.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them ran for president in 2008, and those two did not have a chance in hell to get elected because the media railroaded them, including Glenn Beck, Ron Paul, and Dennis Kucinich. And either one of them would be better than Obama. Either one.
Oh, yeah.
And on top of that, the third one is Cynthia McKinney, which people think, you know, when you say that, people go crazy. They go insane.
I'm sorry, but Rain Man would be better than Obama.
Well, that's true. But you know, it, you know, if you were looking for somebody that supported your constitutional rights as written in the United States Constitution and your Bill of Rights and the Republic as a whole, you had candidates on both sides. You had a Republican candidate and a Democratic candidate that you could have voted for.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have a chance. They did not have a chance. Yet, they, as far as your rights go, they had your back. And the media railroaded them both. Railroaded them both. It was amazing. I mean, as far as Dennis Kucinich went, I mean, that was blatant. What the media did to him was unbelievable. And then, of course, Ron Paul. And now, what's so funny is now that the election's over and Obama's president, they can't get enough of Ron Paul. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's everywhere. They talk to him all the time now. What's your opinion? What's your opinion? What's your opinion? It would have been better if he was president and given his opinion, because we'd be getting somewhere. Wouldn't be broke, that's for sure. But we'll just have to see what they pull out of the hat. I have a feeling that Palin may run.
Oh, I know she will.
Yeah,
I think Oprah's going to run.
That's
Oprah
probably
run
your
Obama,
hidden though. Agenda.
Yeah.
You know what the rumor is, though?
Pollen
rumor
versus
is,
Oprah, 2012.
The rumor is Obama's going to give her some kind of position in his administration.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that. I've heard that for a long time. I'll see. We'll see what happens. But
yeah.
It would be interesting. Well, I'm not. No, it's not going to be interesting. It's going to be devastating, but it'll be what it is.
Oprah in a position with Obama. Wipe that thought
from my
mind.
Yeah, she'll be an entertainment czar.
Hey, did you see Obama's husband on TV the other day, Stedman, reading those bills or whatever it was on there? It was a dude that looked just like him up there reading all this stuff. They were like, hey, that's Oprah's man.
That's funny. That is funny. Well, I just say that the American people, they just need to be... They need to pay attention, because if they were paying attention, they would be livid. And the very fact that they're not livid just shows me that they are not paying attention. And I think part of it's by design. I mean, I really do. I think that they have us so busy as Americans. You know, it takes both, you know, generally speaking, it takes both husband and wife to work to make a living these days.
Mm-hmm.
And now, with the economy tanking and everything going, you know, just horribly wrong with the economy, it's taken, I mean, they're having to take 2 and 3 jobs, and we're having to let the school babysit our kids. And, oh, by the way, Obama has a solution for that, too. He's going to extend the school day till 6 o'clock, and he wants the schools open on Saturday. You think I want my kids in a public school run by an administration that's this crazy? Oh, no, I don't. I homeschooled my kids, and my daughter goes part-time to the school here in town, and all she takes is electives there. And she's dropping out of that even because she can't stand it. They're driving her crazy in the school. They're doing stupid stuff. It's stupid what they do. And the other thing that people need to realize, and it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, by definition means you don't care, of course, who runs. You just want to vote for the person you think's best. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. If your candidate does not vote constitutionally, then they are not the candidate for you. We do not live in a democracy. Our country is a republic, and it's a republic for a reason. The laws clearly defined in the Constitution give us all the freedom we need. And if we pass laws that are not constitutional, our freedom is bound. And anybody in this country, if all the laws were constitutional, anybody in this country could do whatever they needed to do in their pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But if you blindly follow the Democrat or the Republican or the, you know, Constitution Party candidate or the Libertarian Party candidate, then what are you doing? I mean, you have to look at the policy. You have to look at the platform. You have to look at the trustworthy. But most importantly, these days, most of the people running, you can look at their voting record. And you can see, does he vote constitutionally? Does he support constitutional issues, or does he vote against the Constitution? And if he votes against the Constitution, he cannot step up there and take the oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, with a straight face. He won't support your constitutional rights if he votes against them. How are you going to trust him to support your constitutional and defend your constitutional rights? You can't do it.
Right.
We have to find, in this country, we have to find someone to run for office that represents the people of the United States and supports and defends our constitutional right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that's what we need to do. And if people cannot see that, you know, if people do not understand that that is the key, then I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, the frightening thing is there's a lot of people out there that don't understand the Constitution.
No,
they probably don't even know our Constitution. That's the problem. So those of us who do understand it and know a little bit about it or a lot about it, you know, we're watching the current administration, I mean, just completely, you know, going completely against it. And we're appalled by it. But then there's others who just are so blind, and that's the majority of the people. And that's what this administration is counting on.
So that's
why they don't like all this dissent coming from all of us who know what's going on.
Right. And hence, again, the reason for the detention camps. You know, the funny part about that is that when you're, and people go back to that and they go, y'all are crazy. You can't be talking about that because you're crazy. Okay. The part that people don't understand, and this is something that I didn't know until we released this film, Camp FEMA,
mm-hmm.
is that do you know of a time in the United States where U.S. citizens were relocated out of their homes into an internment camp? You do. It was 1942, mm-hmm. and it was American citizens of Japanese descent.
Yes, they put them
in
the...
They were taken out of their homes, exactly. They were taken out of their homes, and they were put in internment camps. So there is a precedent. There is a precedent
mm-hmm.
for what's going on today. So when people say, well, they don't have FEMA camps, you know what? They do have camps. We have pictures of them. We absolutely do. You know,
mm-hmm.
and you need to be concerned, and you need to be thinking about it, because the government, for them to do this, one of the reasons that they're doing this is, you know, under Rex 84, and I'm not sure if you know too much about Rex 84.
No,
but
I
Rex
don't.
84 was technically a plan to test the ability of the United States government and the military to detain large numbers of refugees and American citizens in case of national emergency and civil unrest.
Wow.
Wow.
The exercise from 1984, the exercise anticipated civil disobedience and strikes around the world, demonstrations, subversive activities, all kinds of things. And they wanted to move these, you know, round up and move these people into local areas. And they considered the possibility of imposing martial law. Now, when people say those kind of things, people go, they didn't do that. Yeah, they did that. They did it in 1984. And they have done several exercises with regards to that since then. And not only that, in 2008, we now have a military command in the United States of America, NORTHCOM. That is in Posse Comitatus. And these are things that people do not understand and they do not know. And while NORTHCOM is here and they say, oh, you know, we're just here to help aid in case of natural disaster, on NORTHCOM's own website, it says something to the effect, and I'm not going to quote it exactly, and I don't have the exact words in front of me, but something to the effect of, we are here to assist in the case of national disasters and civil unrest. It is our duty, if you read the Declaration of Independence as United States citizens, it is our duty to throw off government that is oppressive to the American people. That is our duty. It states it in the Declaration of Independence.
Indeed.
And so, and there is no... I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to, unfortunately, Dorothy, Debbie, sorry. I've got to, we're wrapping things up here. We're approaching, going on 2 hours, 5 minutes here. And that is a good thought.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's very interesting.
Oh, no,
don't be sorry. If you want to stick around in the post show, by all means, maybe we can fire some questions at you. But that's a good thought to end things on, folks. We will be posting all these links on the website, doubletalk.bigbig.com. I would like to thank everybody that's participated in the show tonight, especially Debbie from Taking Back Washington.
Yeah, definitely.
Who has really informed us and armed us with some good information. And we will continue to continue to fight the good fight here on Double Talk Radio. So I'm going to give everybody a minute here to say their goodbyes, and I'm going to wrap things up, and you can catch us on the post chat. Violet?
I'd like to thank all the guests that came in tonight, and of course all the people who've been downloading the show on iTunes and Podomatic and on TalkShoe, and thank you for your continued support, and have a great evening, and I will see you all on Sunday evening.
And yes, again, thank you so much for Debbie for coming by, Scotty, Gartex, everyone that's contributed tonight. Debbie, we'd love to have you back again if you'll come back sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be glad to.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Awesome. Great show.
So, folks, if you have any questions, email us at the show here, kklivradio@yahoo.com. Once again, check out the homepage, doubletalk.bigbig.com. We'll get all those links up to Debbie and all those information sites. And we will be back on Sunday with another episode of The Wrap-Up. Tell your friends. Tell them to download the show. It's been another good one. Until next time, folks, for Violet and producer Scotty, this is Double K signing off.
Welcome to my breakdown.